Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, away we go into the 4 o'clock hour. On Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports talk station, also number one in this time slot. We appreciate everybody who listens and has boosted our ratings out there. We appreciate it. Hopefully we'll continue to deliver stuff that you enjoy on a daily basis. Right now we're going to deliver you the very popular segment called Chris versus the Fans. Chance for you to dial in, perhaps go see Jerry Seinfeld in concert in Las Vegas, 833-288-0973. We'll get you in the game.
The Mariners got their team sweatsuits on, arriving to the field.
Mariners are trying to show a little togetherness. Game 7 of the ALCS is about an hour away. Shane Bieber's dressed for success. Got a t-shirt on.
it looks
as relaxed as he can possibly look. Game 1 of the Monday Night Football doubleheader is getting underway here shortly with Detroit hosting Tampa Bay. We will be carrying the second game of that later after Scraby's Chronicles. It'll be Seattle hosting Houston. Thanks again to Keith Smith talking some NBA. A couple of things before we get to our game, give you a chance to call in. Lamont Butler trying to make it with the Atlanta Hawks. Still, as far as I know, hanging in there. Kristaps Porzingis is now a Hawk. Some of the new faces. Keyshawn Johnson still with Miami. Norman Powell's gone down to Miami now. The old Lincoln High star.
Word up.
Miles Turner, who helped lead the Pacers to the finals, signed with Milwaukee. Cooper Flagg, number one pick with Dallas. We know that. Al Horford.
Ooh, that had to sting, by the way.
What's that?
My man signing with the
Miles Turner,
the Bucks.
Yeah, no, that hurt Indiana for sure. Especially
he
with
was
the loss,
big in that,
especially
in,
with the loss of Halliburton.
Man,
yeah, Cooper Flagg, Dallas, Horford's Golden State now. That's going to look a little weird. Al Horford there. CP3
is Al Horford the oldest guy in the NBA? He might. Be.
No,
CP3.
I think CP3 is.
CP3 might go.
There you go.
Got to keep an eye on Dylan the Villain. Has moved, taken his talents to Phoenix this year.
Oh, he went in the trade. That's right.
Right.
Saw Kevin Durant switch
and,
spots.
You talk about a guy taking the bag. Drew Holiday goes from the champion Celtics to Portland, where he can just make a lot of money and
I'm
never win a game.
I'm looking forward to that team. That team is going to be
think
all
so,
right.
Portland?
What they got?
Isn't
they
Dame
got,
out?
Well, he's out for a period of time, but he'll be back.
Okay.
But they got a couple young dudes. The Sharp kid. He can play.
You're looking for Portland.
And I think they could be kind of a surprise team this year.
We'll hold you to that, Tony.
Okay.
One other guy whose name you might remember if you're an Aztec fan, Neek Clifford, who's the Colorado State guy, went to Sacramento to play with DeRozan and Zach LaVine.
And
how I miss them. So.
And Russell Westbrook.
Yes, Russ is back for an 18th. Talking about another
signed.
Guy who's pretty old, Scraby.
Yeah.
He's still going. But yes, none of them are the age of Bob Ryan, that noted hooper for the Boston media who played against Joe Mazzulla's team.
Yes, no, they're not. No, none of them are that old.
All right, Scrab, you ready for a little Chris versus the fans?
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Let me get you what you're playing for first. You'll be qualified for a chance to win the grand prize, a trip for two to see Jerry Seinfeld in Las Vegas, including two tickets to the show on April 17th at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace, a two-night stay at the Flamingo Hotel and Casino, and a $100 gas card. Jerry Seinfeld returns to the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace on April 17th and 18th. See Ticketmaster.com for tickets. Also, the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question. Or you win if you're a first-time player. Let us know before you get into it, and you'll get that first question for free today. Let me get to our players.
Very good.
Our players. Let's start...
Our players.
Let's start with Martin.
Martin, happy Monday to you.
Hey, Martin.
Happy Monday, gentlemen.
Here we go. First question. What equestrian sport is played on horseback that features two teams using mallets to hit a ball through goalposts?
Whoa.
Polo.
Nice. That's a tough question, number one, I might say.
Is it?
I think so.
We play a lot of polo here in San Diego County, so I thought maybe.
Fair enough. Question number two. Which actor made his film debut in A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Ooh.
Is this question number three?
Yeah. This is really hard.
I would say this is question number three.
Okay.
Can't remember his name.
Well, I would say.
Do you want to give him another?
It's luck of the draw.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, it's luck of the draw.
It goes. Sometimes you
got to place your questions in the right spot, buddy.
Anyway, you want to guess?
No, I'm going to pass.
He's going to pass.
Oh, nice job.
I thought Johnny Depp. Is that who you're looking for? I don't know. Was he in this? I think he was.
Oh, man, this is an impossible question. It's just luck of the draw if you just guess something out there.
That was a hard question. It doesn't mean
sorry
I couldn't
that,
get
Martin.
It. I've gotten hard ones before. You're such... Yeah. You know, one of these days, let's put together a montage of you pretending to be my voice.
We should.
I think that would be
hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Well, when you guys learn how to edit, you can get it done.
Probably not going to happen.
That's a good point. All right, who's our next contestant?
Let's go. You know what? We haven't heard from Michael in a long time.
Michael, welcome back, my friend.
What's up, my guys?
What's up?
Here we go. First question.
You bleeped yourself.
Which NFL team has their logo located on only one side of their helmet?
It's for Steelers.
Nice. You're on it today.
And being a uniform guy, I've looked that up for years as to why they did that.
Can't find
it. Never really been a good explanation for it.
Yeah. Question number two.
Whoops. I almost clicked
it. There we go. Who is the most recent player to win the NFL MVP and Super Bowl MVP in the same season?
Most recent to do it.
Most recent?
Yes.
I still think it's old, but I'm going to go Brady.
Who is it?
Brady.
Tom Brady.
Thomas Brady is incorrect.
Stay there, Michael.
Ello for the
Mahomeboy?
Mahomeboy. Patrick Mahomeboy. That is correct.
Sorry about that, Michael.
6-7. We have
I don't do that.
That's what he just did. Anyway.
Oh, you just said that was such a tough question.
Next contestant, please.
We need some contestants. 833-288-0973.
Let's go. Monday. Let's go to sleeping.
Sleeping. Let's go to Bill.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Hi, Bill.
Doing
good.
Doing well, my friend.
Is this Bill or Ja'Cory Merritt Krosky?
Yeah.
Does he even know?
Don't tell him that, Chris.
It's a deep cut joke right there.
Here we go. To number one. Back to our Halloween theme. What is the name of the villain in the Child's Play film series?
Child's Play.
Well, I'm sorry, what kind of series?
Child's Play film series.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'll just say, is that Chucky?
Oh,
hey, you came up with it. Good job. He got it.
Oh, okay.
Good
I gotta say,
you pulled it out there. That's
I
the
watched
way to do
a
it.
Chucky movie over the weekend.
Why?
Because it was there.
Okay. My wife,
I enjoy
on,
it.
My wife was on a Scream binge, so we hit up 1, 2, and 3.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Oh man!
Yeah.
Speaking of Chucky,
serious.
Speaking of Chucky, I have a question.
Yes.
If the Dolphins, I've seen this a couple of times.
Mm,
if they wanted to hire John Gruden, could they?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, they'd get a lot of bad publicity for
and
it.
And the NFL, considering
they're not getting any worse publicity than they're getting now.
Listen, the NFL would feel away probably because he's suing them right now. So,
but
I mean, there's nothing stopping them, for sure.
Okay.
And it seems like the type of name that your owner would be jiving
and
with.
They need that, something like that. Okay.
All right, here we go. Question number two.
Number two.
Yeah, this is where it starts to get tricky. What actor starred in the 1986 movie The Fly?
I'm sorry, what is the name of the movie?
The Fly.
The Fly.
Goldberg. A good Goldblum.
Oh, you got it on the second try.
Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, that's right. Good job.
That's
he's also very more famous for the Jurassic Park movies, but that is correct.
Yeah, he's
Fly movie freaked me
out.
Didn't he turn into a fly at the end, finally? Yeah.
It
took him a long time to get there.
It took him a while to get there. Yeah, that was pretty crazy one.
Yeah.
All right, good job, Bill. You're doing well here.
Question number three, Bill. This is a good one right here.
Okay.
What Hall of Famer has the most pick sixes in NFL history?
Try to think about a guy. Deion Sanders.
Deion.
Stay there,
not
Bill.
The most pick sixes.
Is it that guy?
No way.
Is that him?
I think his name's Rod Woodson.
I'm sorry.
I'll tell you where I came up with that photo.
I know where you came up with the photo.
Okay.
Is Connor over your
no,
little
he
game
hasn't figured
yet?
Out yet.
Yeah, because he's like, what is this guy doing? He's sending me a new picture every
have we
day.
Talked about this on air,
no,
what you're doing?
No,
we have not.
If I was Connor, I would block your number.
You would not.
Yes,
you would enjoy it, and you'd be happy that I'm doing
it. I love that he hasn't figured it out yet.
No one would figure this out, Tony.
I think I would figure this out.
Well, we'll talk about it in a minute.
All right, we
got to
do tiebreaker. We're going to do Rod Woodson.
Rod Woodson it is.
All right. Let's go to Ken.
Hello, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
I got a Rod Woodson jersey at home.
Oh,
there you go. Nice.
This is perfect,
Dan.
Nice. This is perfect.
Yeah, you would have
All right,
that
you
one.
Stay there, Ken. I'm going to ask Chris a question. Chris is going to give me a number, and Ken will guess whether or not the actual number is higher or lower than what Chris guessed. By the way, don't remember him playing for the 49ers, but he did.
He did,
he
huh?
definitely
well,
did.
I didn't for one,
that
played one year.
For, played for Baltimore, too.
Yes, he did. He played
that
for
I
four
remembered.
Teams total.
I got that.
17 years, Chris.
Okay.
How many tackles did he have in his career?
17 years, 1,700?
I'm going to say combined tackles.
1,700. Is 100 a
1700.
Good, I don't even know how many. I don't follow tackles much.
That's
so I don't.
Too many.
Ken,
that's
is
too many?
The actual answer higher or lower
Tony
than 1700?
Lower.
He goes lower.
That's you right. are correct, how much Ken. I miss it by?
He had to miss quite that one by a lot. Quite yeah, a I was about to say.
He didn't get 100 tackles?
That's
for
like your league lead?
He only got 100 tackles in one season. Oh. But it was 1,158 tackles.
Okay, well.
That's not, I mean, it's not crazy, but. Oh, yeah.
Well, good for you.
100 tackles every year. Like,
that's
damn.
Still good for
that's a great quarterback season.
I mean, if you're making 100 tackles, your team is terrible.
Well, he said combined tackles, right?
Yeah, I did say combined yeah, tackles. I mean,
everybody on the Miami defense has 100 tackles because they take
them
out.
Because they miss so many?
Yeah, right.
Do you get multiple tackles if you miss one?
If your secondary is getting to that many tackles, yeah, right, you're yeah. in trouble.
True.
Yeah, they're
true. If your safety has the most tackles on the team, you've had a bad year.
That's not good.
They are certainly in trouble. All right, early trouble for the Buccaneers. They give up a touchdown pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown on the first Detroit possession. So 7-0 Lions would take a break as Ken cashes in on Chris versus the fans today, and more Gwen and Chris after traffic.
420. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
2 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Kind of hit you from all angles today so far. We've talked some NBA, we've talked some Padres.
We even had a polo question in the Chris versus the fans.
We did. Scraby was on his game today with the coaches. Sorry, I'm thinking about what we're about to talk about next. With the game, Chris versus the fans. Good job, Scraby.
Thank you very much.
Glad
I appreciate
you, your
that.
Questions.
Thank you for being nice, Tony. It's
well,
nice
I mean,
to
the
be,
two of you is
nice
like a mutual
nice.
Admiration society over there. One guy reads the thing good, the other guy does a good job
mutual
on the questions.
Mutual admiration society. Yeesh. Tony, I appreciate you. Okay,
this is hilarious.
Someone did say my impression of you is spot on.
Yeah, sure that's not true. We your impression
it's like a mutual relationship society.
Well,
there.
You know what? The more I think about it, Scraby, that's you got it. Yeah,
it's pretty terrible, I must say. we talked a little bit about it in terms of the coaching openings. Tony Vitello is the coach at the University of Tennessee, and is seemingly on the cusp of getting this. Giant job, according to The Athletic. Just reading you an insert out of there. But Posey was seeking a big personality who could be, what's this, imbue? Is that what this, is that a word? Or is that
imbue?
Imbue?
Yeah.
Okay. Imbue the Giants clubhouse with confidence and Vitello's dynamicism and care.
And
charisma,
some landmines there.
Charisma have been on full display in both his recruiting efforts and the Volunteers' brash and buoyant style of play. Vitello led his team to 3 College World Series appearances in the past 5 seasons. Shortly after the Vols won the first College World Series in school history last year, Vitello signed an extension through 2029 that will pay him $3 million per year. He's the second highest paid in Division I, and his contract is also includes a $3 million buyout, which the Giants would be responsible for paying. That's on top of the $4 million or so that he will be paying Bob Melvin to not manage next season.
Imbue means to inspire or permeate with.
All right. I don't know who wrote that in The Athletic, but that's I appreciate the new word, imbue. I'm going to use that. Mix that in on one of these broadcasts one of these days. But it sounds like this particular deal is not going to be cheap, right? $3 million is the starting point, if that's what he's getting there. And then you're going to have to buy out another three. And so I'm assuming it's probably going to start with a four.
Well,
if it goes down,
I mean,
at all.
I don't know. I mean, what is a manager making now?
I'm looking
they,
it up.
They don't normally put these numbers out. I mean, that's they why don't. It was reportedly $2 million a year that Mike Schilt was leaving on.
Yes,
the
and
table.
Craig Counsell is supposedly making $8 million a year. So is Dave Roberts.
He's probably the high, those are probably two highest.
Those are the two highest. Aaron Boone and Bruce Bochy were making $4.5 million. Alex Cora makes $7.3 million. And then it says, depending on experience level, some earn less than $2 million a year.
Yeah. So
the Rockies manager makes $10 an hour. What's his name? Warren somebody.
Did they hire someone new yet?
No but that yet. Was the – he's the leftover fill-in.
He was a third base coach, right. I believe.
I don't know how much, you know – this could be a really cool move, and it could open the door for how many
more
people
teams to start doing it. Right?
I mean, if every college coach in America that's the coach of a high profile college baseball team is probably praying this guy gets the job, that's going to put all of them into play down the road, which gives them more leverage against their schools. You know, if you're managing like a team in the SEC or coaching a team in the SEC, I mean, you can say, hey, I just got a call from. You know, MLB and the SEC can just go, well, yeah. let's call one of our boosters and we'll get you a 10, you know.
He can turn right around and use this to get a bigger deal where he's at.
You know, he won a national championship. I think it might be an inspired play. I mean, I don't know, but a young guy that, you know, is going to be open to all the ideas that they want to him to impart. It's easier to teach a new dog new tricks. So I think it might work for the Giants.
Does this give you guys I know that this guy has more of a resume, but does this give you Jace Tingler vibes a little bit? Like not knowing who someone is, bringing someone in who's never.
Not at all. Everybody has to be a nobody at some point,
right?
Everybody. Yeah. Everybody.
You only know Albert Pujols because he played baseball.
Well, yeah, of course.
You didn't know him for managing.
I mean, I told you that Phil Jackson was a horrible hire in my mind.
Wait, what did you call him yesterday? Some hippie?
Oh, it's some hippie from Montana. I'm like, what are they doing? So, I mean, I'm not saying the guy will work out. I'm just saying everybody has to be a nobody
right.
at some point. I think it's a pretty good move.
And,
How often
are we hearing about –
Not wanting to recycle
managers or being mad because a recycled manager
same
was
old
happening.
Tired right. thing.
But wouldn't you want a manager that or a guy who has been a bench coach for 5 years who has dealt with the players?
You can put a bench coach next to this guy, first of all. And secondly,
why does the bench coach get the job then? If the bench coach is being hired to actually do the job, why is he manager?
There is something imbue.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's dynamic enough to even garner the attention from Buster Posey to begin with. So that's probably the thing that is moving him ahead of whatever said bench coach. But doesn't mean you can't give him support around it for sure.
I don't know. I feel like Buster's overthinking.
I mean, it's interesting.
You think he's overthinking?
It's interesting that you're saying though that you know why not just hire the other guys? I don't have the perfect answer to that. But I was sitting behind the UCLA bench the other night, a couple rows up there watching that scrimmage game. The last thing Mick Cronin does during the game is coach. He's running around yelling at the officials the whole time. He's got no time to make a play or talk to any of the players. Those guys do seemingly all the work.
We see the same thing
and
on
you
the
see
Aztecs.
It with,
yeah.
Right. So, I mean, David Velasquez, those guys are, you know, doing the XSO. Dutcher's up there, you know, that's a travel! I'm just saying. Yeah. Head coaches are, you know, not figureheads. Don't get me wrong, but they have other
things
they have
to do. They have the job for a
reason,
but they have a lot of responsibility.
They have to deal with the media. They have to deal with the alumni. They have to deal with the, you know,
whoever it is. How much are we talking about head coaches that don't delegate and that want to do everything?
Yeah, they end up retiring like Mike Schilt. I might say. Sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to do that.
Andy said Posey wants a puppet.
Yeah, well, that's low hanging fruit.
He doesn't seem like the puppet type of guy. I think he wants to win.
I think Buster would like some input, but I don't think there's a GM anywhere that doesn't have some. After all, Buster Posey.
Of course,
Buster. Sorry,
Buster.
Hey, why does Buster Posey have this job? Because I'm going to box up his name every time. I mean, Buster Posey needs to win too for his job.
100%. He got bosses too.
I think he's got at least a five year.
Yeah, well, if he loses all 5 years, he's not going to be there long.
Right, and you know they certainly will think of him differently at that point.
The quick polling of my friend. This weekend, when I was like, "What do you guys think of this guy for manager?" It was like, "Oh, here we go again."
Yeah, because they don't know. I mean, that's how I would expect the fan base to feel like
Me
that.
Me too.
All right, let's get to break. Big Five, loaded up, ready to roll on Gwynn and Chris.
Hey, welcome back. 4:36 is the time. Monday Night Football, first game of the night. Total yardage in the first quarter, guys. Detroit 160, Tampa Bay 15. But score only 7-0. Goff touchdown pass to Amon-Ra. Lions just had a fourth down attempt, throw into the end zone, incomplete, disdaining the field goal, as Dan Campbell often does. 7-0, Lions, Buccaneers, trying to get their wits about them here late in the first quarter. Coming up at 5, it'll be game 7 of the American League Championship Series. Seattle at Toronto. And speaking of Seattle, they're playing football, the Seahawks, tonight at home against Houston. We're carrying the game beginning at 7 o'clock. Tony and I will be on here till 6. Scraby Chronicles will take over from there. Is it Big Five time?
The Chronicles.
It's Big Five time and the Chronicles time, whatever you guys want.
Yeah, let's just go to the Chronicles.
Okay.
All right. Tony and I will go home.
Stay in your seat.
Tony and I will be willing to give you an extra long show today.
I don't want it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I would like to remind everyone first, before we get into the Big Five, to make sure you go and subscribe to the new Gwynn and Chris YouTube. It's at Gwynn and Chris SD on YouTube, but if you type in Gwynn and Chris, you'll be able to find it. It's got a bunch of different things that we're going to start offering. We had a couple episodes last week of secret shows, I guess we could call them, shows that we're like topics that we talk about that we normally don't do it on the show. So everybody tuned in for that. I appreciate everyone
and,
there. Go to the Gwen and Chris
$100 per click. Not bad.
Is
it? It's very affordable.
It's very affordable.
No, it's free.
Yes, it is.
It's free.
Yes.
So why not?
Go
get
to the Instagram
there
as well.
Yes.
And the Twitter, Gwen and Chris. All right.
Number five.
Oh, the Big Five is brought to you by your local Kia dealers. Visit Kia.com to discover movement that inspires. Now, that was an amazing catch by Vince. There has been a growing discontent, according to The Athletic, between Nick Castellanos and the Phillies. Here's what the article said, quote, because they said that they were going to trade him or release him to get him off this team this offseason. Quote, a growing discontent between Castellanos and the Phillies became public during the season when, in June, Rob Thompson benched Castellanos for an inappropriate comment following the manager's decision to lift Castellanos for defense late in a game. The dugout incident, numerous team sources said, left players and coaches alike disgusted. The lines had been drawn, they said. All right, Chris, you're up first, and I want to talk about this because I'm stealing it from Twitter. I wish I had the person who I saw this from, but they brought up a good point. Anytime someone in the Padres clubhouse has one bad answer, there's articles about how Manny Machado's a problem. There's articles about this. There's articles about that. Jerks and Profar would like a word from a few years ago. So, Chris, why doesn't Nick Castellanos disgusting his teammates for something he said get the same treatment that Manny Machado did last year after the Sinister Sling?
The Sinister Sling.
Yeah, that went a lot of different directions, too. I'm not quite sure what you're after here. Why is Nick Castellanos not being...
How come this
the
is...
Yeah, I mean, they're basically running him out of town. What do you mean?
I'm saying, why is the media like making a bigger deal of this? He said something that was so disgusting that his teammates were upset about it.
Disgusting?
Did you listen to anything I said?
Yeah, I did. But what did he say that was disgusting?
No one knows, but his teammates were disgusted by it.
Oh.
And the question is...
He said Rob Thompson... All right. I don't know. Nick Castellanos being run out of town. I guess my answer to this particular question is that Manny Machado is just a bigger star than Nick Castellanos.
You know what? I thought about that when I wrote it.
That's my only answer.
Ask me the question again.
Why doesn't Nick Castellanos get the same treatment Manny did last year after the Sinister Sling?
And what, remind me of the treatment that he got?
He was a terrible player. He's a dirty player. He's not good for baseball. Jerks and Profar was peacocking in the field.
Oh, okay.
Remember
okay.
They banned Ken
okay,
Rosenthal?
Okay, I got that part. Now, how does this equate to
The tweeter was saying, anytime something happens to one of the Padres, it's a national article and everybody has to talk about how terrible the Padres clubhouse is.
Oh, gotcha. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think it feels...
Maybe around here it feels that way.
It feels that way.
Now, you don't know how hard this is coming down in Philadelphia. It's probably
right.
Pretty loud there.
For sure. For sure it is.
I think
it feels that way. I don't know that it actually is that way. I think that particular story blew up the way it did because it was a playoff game. It was a series between probably the two biggest rivals in baseball right now. And I think it also felt like that because when we woke up here in San Diego, we opened up our paper, we got on our apps, and it was the only thing that was really talked about. I doubt that in New York, Chicago, any of those, unless they were watching the ESPN game, they had no idea what's going on.
Okay.
So fair. I would say that it was just a matter of time when it happened, and we can't say that it's not happening in Philly the way that it was happening here at the time.
All right. I mean, if Ken Rosenthal heard that there was something said disgusting in the Padres. Well, there's a lot disgusting said in the Dodgers dugout, but in the Padres dugout, he would be running to
find
out what was
said. But here's the other thing that's different about it is that fake thing took place between team A and team B. This took place in a locker room of one team where, as we found out, things can be kept a secret until they aren't.
All right. Good job, guys. Good job.
Number four.
Thank you, Scravy.
I still don't understand the question.
I know, you're lost over there.
But that's okay. Tony will say a lot of nice things to you.
Well, I was going to. You know what? I was actually thinking about saying how great Tony was, but then I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Don't drag me into this, okay?
Shohei Ohtani's, now I wrote this morning before I thought about it a little bit more, but Shohei Ohtani's postseason struggles were well covered leading into Game 4 on Friday. He ended up going yard three times, and he struck out 10 batters as a pitcher, immediately prompting Major League Baseball to fall all over themselves to run to the social media machines to make him NLCS MVP. I'm not kidding. I got push notifications from NBC News about Ohtani winning NLCS MVP. Never seen another sports notification. Tony, after it all is said and done, he had one great game. Should he have won the NLCS MVP?
He had one great game offensively.
He
pitched pretty good.
Yeah.
And both the times he was out there.
All I'm saying is that there's like 26 other guys on the team.
Yeah, and I don't know that they had the impact, even in his struggles, that he had. Listen, I didn't want him to win either. And my first thought when I saw this was also to hate. Like, what? He was hitting 150. But then you start thinking about it. He pitched. He didn't give up very much. He was dominant when he pitched. They had to walk him pretty much every time he didn't make it out. And when he didn't make it out, it was a loud homer that almost went out of the stadium. So,
speaking of, they're doing a commercial for him right now on TV. Just him.
So I think that... What was the question again?
You've answered it. Boom. Chris, should he have won NLCS MVP?
Yes,
and the reason is because there was no other good contender for it other than the other three starting pitchers, Snell, and then Yamamoto, and then Glasnow. Ohtani, meanwhile, pitched almost as well as Snell and Yamamoto did, but he added the three home runs that they didn't have. So he should have, and you know what? I get all your dislike of him because he's a Dodger. But in the history of what's the greatest single baseball performance in a game you've ever seen, I don't see how you can have that conversation without bringing that game up. Honestly. Sorry. You don't like it. It's true.
It doesn't matter what I think.
I'm glad you realized that.
It doesn't matter what I think, and I went and looked for an alternative for an NLCS MVP. I could not find one either.
I knew
the answer to this question before I asked it. The winless Jets have not been good this year, as their record indicates, but they have a bunch of issues with injury, execution, and more. But quarterback play is one of their main issues. And head coach Aaron Glenn was asked by the media if Justin Fields is still the starter of his team. Here's what he said.
There's a lot of thought that goes into that. For me personally, and then being able to get with the staff, and then just being able to ask other coaches that have been in the situation, how would they handle that? So I'm not running away from the question at all, Rich. The thing is, I want to make sure that I make the right decision. And I don't want to make rash decisions either. You know, so I just want to make sure when decision is made, it'll be the right one. And you guys will know that real soon.
All right, Chris. When is it time to bench Justin Fields?
Well, I'm not giving up on Justin Fields. He's had some bad games. The Jets are a bad team. 46 yards. I think it was smart they took him out. You know, yesterday gave him a chance with Taylor, but Taylor couldn't do anything either. Here's the thing. The Jets are bad, and they're the laughing stock. But they're going to pass the Dolphins soon. And leave the Dolphins as the laughing stock. The Jets get to host Cleveland in a week or two. They'll beat them. They get to host the Dolphins.
Have you
later.
Watched the Jets play this year?
Yeah, I saw them against the Dolphins. And
won?
I know who won. I know who's worse, though.
I know who won, but I know who's worse.
I think Glenn's going to be, you know, it's going to be one of these 1-11 things. Look, Troy Aikman started 0-11. He's in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying that Aaron Glenn's going to be there, but I think the Jets are going to be fine. They're going to come through this. And I think Fields, if they are, even if he benches him, he's got to be careful because he's got to keep Fields' mind in this game because I think Fields still gives him the best chance. When he has a game, Fields is still pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
That I see.
I agree.
Did Garrett Wilson play yesterday or not?
He did not.
No. Well, that's a big factor,
and they lost
too.
Sauce Gardner.
Yeah. But Wilson being out is a weapon for Fields. So I'm not giving up on Fields yet.
Tony, when is it time to bench Justin Fields?
Hey, maybe now.
Interesting.
I mean, I appreciate Aaron Glenn not jumping to rash decisions and kind of thinking this out. Delegating some of his thoughts and wanting to get some of his coach's thoughts. But yeah, I think the time might be now. I mean, this is a couple of really bad, bad performances by Justin Field. I mean, yeah, was the negative game 2 weeks ago now? I was at this
two
last
weeks ago,
week.
Yeah. 46 yards and minus 10. Back to back.
And quite frankly, you're just, I mean, he didn't play last week, but you're wasting Garrett Wilson. Like every week you're out there and he doesn't touch the
ball. I know,
ball.
But is Tyrod Taylor giving you a much better shot?
We got to give him a chance to find out, because certainly Justin Field has had, 6 weeks now?
Yeah.
Hadn't gone very well.
Has not. He also got the concussion, so I guess Tyrod Taylor started anyway.
Yeah. Well, he's made one good play this season, Justin Fields, and of course it was a incredible 47-yard touchdown scramble against the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah. He took off. Yeah, that was incredible. Crazy.
He also threw a nice touchdown to Garrett Wilson in that game.
Number two.
The Broncos' 33 fourth-quarter points yesterday were the most in NFL history by any team that was shut out for the first three quarters, and quarterback Bo Nix became the first player ever to run for two scores and throw for two touchdowns in a fourth quarter. The Broncos' improbable comeback snapped a streak in which NFL teams had won 1,602 consecutive games when leading by 18 points in the final 6 minutes of a game. So, Tony, you're up first. Brian Daboll was already on the hot seat, and he just lost something. He lost a game that's never been lost before. Tony, would you fire Brian Daboll after this game if you're the owners?
No. Yeah, that was a. There's no excuse I can make for that kind of loss, but I still don't think it gets any better. You firing him right in the middle of the season. He just moved to Dart. He seems to have some electricity behind him.
Dart's, you know, this was a loss for the Giants, but Dart is a win for them.
Yeah.
Going down the road. I think you should get rid of their kicker. I mean, the guy missed two extra points, including one at the end there that would have put them up by three.
Yeah, it's tough.
At least got the game to OT.
That is tough.
If you saw this game, it was crazy because, look, it was 26-8. Denver came back to take the lead, and then the Giants came back to take the lead again.
Yep.
It's not like they completely folded there.
No, they didn't completely fold.
Right? I think Dable's doing okay with a team that has very little talent. What do they have? Jackson Dart and Scadabo, and, you know, see what happens.
They have Aztec alum Daniel Bellinger.
Yes, he had a nice touchdown yesterday.
He did.
I'd stay with Dable. I think Giants are on the upward trend right now, even though this is a loss that's going to hurt. For sure.
Number one.
So, this is about me, guys, but I was walking Lucky this morning, and for anyone that doesn't know, I hate snakes in any form. Hate them. And I was walking, and I
didn't...
What
are the different forms we could be talking about? You said in any form.
Dead, alive, snakeskin, any form. Any form.
Okay.
I didn't notice it, but I looked down, and there was a baby snake sitting in the trail. It wasn't moving, but I almost stepped on it, and I pretty much wanted to die. But I saved Lucky's life and moved him out of the way. Now, here's the problem, guys. As I was walking, I looked back, and I saw there was another group of people farther back with a dog that did not know about the beast on the path. I warned them about the snake. And they could have not cared less about it. So, Chris, you're up first. Was it my duty to tell the people about the snake?
Was it your duty?
Yeah. I saw they had a dog. I was like, what if that dog gets bit? I don't want to be a guy who's responsible for the dog getting bit.
You could have walked off and not said anything.
Exactly. I waited.
But that would have been on your conscience. So, yes, I think you did the right thing here.
Thank you. Chris, you know what? That was a good answer. Tony, was it my duty to tell the people about the snake?
Yeah, I think it is your duty.
Wow.
I mean, was it a regular, like a garden snake?
It looked like a baby rattle.
Yeah, no, I think you should. I think you should. I think that's the right thing to do.
I mean, we go on our walks. We see coyotes. down the way, we'll tell somebody, hey, we saw a coyote way up there.
Oh, yeah, I think it'd be kind of crazy if you, like, walk by a snake and then walk by people a couple feet later and, like, didn't say anything. Just
hey, by the way, there's no snake up there, so don't worry about it.
I tell everyone that there's a coyote. Some guy one time, I was like, hey, you don't want to take your dog in there because there's a coyote running around. And the guy's like,
listen, if they don't give you the type of response you're looking for, if they like seem like they don't care, that's not on you. You did the right thing by saying, hey, man.
Now I feel better because I felt like an idiot when I did it.
Really?
They were like, oh, cool.
Well, that's on them.
Yeah.
They ain't going to say all that cool when their dog gets bit.
That's what I'm thinking. Snakes are disgusting. When we get back, Monday Night Football's underway. Albert Pujols is going to interview to be the manager of the Padres on Wednesday. We'll talk about it on the other side, 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.